702.
Weird and wonderful.
Mohumuti, the palmist, is my guest. He is a palm reader. And I'm going to be speaking about the principles of this craft. How does it work? How accurate is it? But I'd like to invite you to be part of that conversation. If indeed you have had occasion to have had your palm read, how accurate was it? What are the principles that you understand about the practice? Give me a call. I'd love to hear from you. Mohumuti, the palmist, is my guest. Joins me now on the line. Mohumuti, thank you so much for joining us. I really appreciate your time.
No, thank you very much for inviting me, sir. I feel honored.
Yeah. Palm reading, what is that?
Palm reading is a spiritual tool that helps us navigate our future, present, and past. Is that simple?
It is a tool, you say, yeah?
Yes. So it is a spiritual tool. Yes.
So it's a form of technology at some level, yeah?
Yes, at some level, it is a spiritual science. I'll put it that way. It is a spiritual science.
Okay. So what, and is it based on immutable, observable principles, or, in other words, immutable, objectively observable principles, or does it require a level of faith, let me say? In other words, do I have to be a believer in order for this to work, or does it work whether I believe or not?
It works either way. It works whether you believe or not, because in most cases, what we read in your palms is most of the things that you know, and most of the things that you will experience, and most of the things that you have experienced. So it's not based on belief, really. It's just something that is there, because it's within your palms. So whenever we read your palms, I will tell you about something that you know, and you can confirm that, yes, this I know.
Mm-hmm. Many forms of divination, whether it's the bones, whether it's the reading of the candle, whether it is the reading of the well upside down, whether it is are always based, whether it's astrology, I think it's astrology, are always based on certain fundamental basic principles that are interpreted in, or that provide interpretation. Right? Give us a sense of what this is as far as palm reading is concerned. What are those basic principles? In other words, how do I understand what the line on my palm means, except that it's just a fold in my hand to allow me to have a better grip on whatever it is that I'm holding?
Okay. No. To begin with, we have about three major lines, which is the heart line. This line, it speaks mainly about the condition of your heart itself.
Yep.
It also speaks about your emotions as well. And it also speaks about the traumas that you may have gone through emotionally. And it's also a line that really talks mainly about the mother side of the family. And then we have a lifeline. A lifeline is the one that speaks mainly about your personal health. It's a line that also speaks about the health of the paternal side of the family, and it is also the line that tells you where will you end in terms of relocations, because it also appears on that line. And then now we go to the last line, which is the basic line, but it doesn't mean most people may not have this line, but it's there on 90% of people. It's called the fate line. Now, the fate line, this is the line where we then get to see your possibilities or your chances of success.
What did you call that line, that last line?
Fate line. It's a fate line.
Okay.
F-A-T-E.
Oh, right.
Fate line.
Yep.
Yes. So this is the line that tells mainly about the decisions that you will make based on your studies, career, and even a job description, depending on where it starts. In most cases, these lines that I am talking about, these are the most prominent lines. The heart line is the one that is below the finger, the finger base. And then the lifeline is that is on the side of the thumb. while the fate line is the one that runs from your wrist up to your middle finger. That is called the fate line. And then beyond that, we have what is known as mounts. Now, these mounts are situated under each and every finger. Now, for instance, the pointing finger, underneath that finger, it's called, there's a mount called the Mount of Jupiter. Now, the Mount of Jupiter is also, the word Jupiter is also present in astrology. Now, Jupiter usually represents leadership. So depending on signs which are there on that area of the finger, then this is when we can say that, okay, with what we are seeing here, for instance, let's say someone has a cross on that mount. When someone has a cross on that mount, be it on the left or on the right, we say that, okay, this person is intuitive. And indeed, this person is intuitive. Most of the people who have this cross, this small cross on this on the Mount of Jupiter, they have that blessing of being able to sense things before they happen. And then we go to the next one, which is the middle finger. This is the Mount of Saturn. Now, the Mount of Saturn. This is the finger that speaks mainly about your discipline or justice. Is the finger of justice and truthfulness. So whenever someone
the middle finger.
The middle finger is called the Mount of Saturn.
Oh, yeah.
Now, the word Saturn is we're looking into the planets here.
Yes, Saturn. Yeah, yeah, like Saturday,
yes.
Saturn. Yeah,
Saturn. Yes. Yeah. So we look at it with that eye that this is the planet of discipline. So that is the finger of discipline.
Yeah.
Below, I mean the mount. Let me put it clearly: the mount, not the actual finger, but the mount.
Yeah.
So now, then it extends to the finger itself, because on each and every fingers we have three divisions, and all these divisions they are called phalanges.
Yeah.
While the thumb is a little bit different because there's only two.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. So now we go to the next one, the ring finger. This is the mount of Apollo. This is the mount of jobs, you know, skills. Art. This is where these are seen. We can also see issues with the eyes, because it's connected to the eyes.
Yeah.
And we can also see issues with regard to, you know, your legs, your feet.
Yeah.
Basically. And then we go to the pinky finger.
Yeah.
Which is below that. It's called the Mount of Mercury. Now, this is the mount where we just see that, are you good in communications? And just on the far left of that finger, below it, there are two lines, or one prominent line. You will see them. This is called a marriage line.
Yeah.
This is where we are able to tell if you will potentially get married, depending on the signs which are there, because we have both auspicious signs and both inauspicious signs on these lines.
Let me stop you there, Mohomutse. I mean, it's a lot of information, and I don't know whether I'm getting all of it in the way that I ought to. But suppose I want to start off here. I mean, who decides? Yeah, who decides that particular line is the headline or the heartline or the fate line? On the basis of what? What informs that particular decision? Who decides and on the basis of what that particular finger represents issues that have to do with marriage? What if people are not interested in marriage? And then maybe before you answer, because I got a lot of questions. How do people almost suggests that your life is already mapped out. Yeah.
Yes.
That there is no room for choice.
No.
In all of this, okay, I'm glad that you're saying so, because I'm a big one for choice, right? But I'm hearing that this line means this, and unless my hand changes somehow, it means that there's not going to be any change in the formation of the lines on the palm of my hand, and therefore the meaning of that line is set in the palm, as it were. I'm interested to understand how and who decides that this line means this. It sounds and feels a little bit arbitrary to me.
All right. No, in most, this is the ancient ways in which it was used, but it was mainly used in the military and also in the spiritual, the kings, I'll put it that way.
Yep.
What would usually happen, they will have an astrologer because palmistry come from astrology. But now they took the knowledge of astrology and put it in the palms so that it can be much easier to choose which one will be right for the throne or which child will be right to lead the masses in terms of the kingship or the royal house. And then when it goes into the field of
if they didn't kill each other, I mean, if they didn't kill each other, I mean, most kings ascend to kingship because they've got a monopoly on violence. They've got the biggest weapons. They've got the biggest number of warriors. They've got the best weapons. It didn't really follow that the guy with a marking on his hand is necessarily going to be the king, did it?
No, I mean, it comes from the royal family itself first.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, from the royal family, then they know that, will this become a prince of war or will this become a prince of, say, a business prince?
Yeah.
Someone who's interested in growing the economy.
Right.
Or will this be a prince who is just going to be abusive? Will this person suit to become a prince?
Yep.
Depending on the bloodline of that particular royal house as to what is it that they serve.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Or what is their purpose that they are serving in that particular area?
But based on what, Mohamutsi? So I get the historic, you know, reference that you're making, right? And I hear the names of Roman names of planets: Jupiter, Saturn, Apollo.
Yes.
These are Roman names that are steeped in a particular culture, a particular background. A particular worldview at a particular time. How do we become certain that those understandings of the lines on our hands are eternally true?
Well, in most cases, because of the background history, as you're saying, because of the background history, it has been said that if another thing is to give you a correct answer on this one, is that the moment a child is born, most of these lines are not prominent.
Yeah,
they become prominent based on the activities that the child performs.
Yeah.
This is when it is decided that, okay, when we look at the activity of this child behaves like this and this and this. Therefore, looking at these lines and the way they are situated, it says to us that this child is going to have a strong head.
Yeah.
This child is going to have good brain.
Yeah.
This child is for the school, or this child is... is for whatever the case is. I'm not sure if I'm answering your question.
I hear you. I want to give our listeners a bit of an opportunity to speak to you, Mohamutsi. Mohamutsi is a palm reader known as Mohamutsi the Palmist. And I think I'm just getting to understand the principles that underpin this craft, this way of divination. And I'd love to hear from you. Anonymous is in Benoni. Hi, Anonymous.
Hello, good evening to you.
Yeah.
Very interesting subject. What I would like to know is, looking at both my hands, the lines are different on both my left and right hand.
Yeah.
How do you explain this? And as you get older, do these lines change?
Yes, yes, yes. Mohamutsi?
Yes. Well, yes, they do change because the left hand is mainly the past, and the right hand is the future. So as you grow, based on the decisions that you make, these lines change. They have a period in which they change in. They usually change in the next in 3 months. But the prominent lines, the headline, the headline, the heartline, and the lifeline, these lines do not change. They either extend or reduce in height or in length,
or in depth.
Oh yes, also in depth. they don't necessarily change, or they will have other other lines influencing them whether in a good way or in a bad way. But these lines don't change.
And what does that mean in real life then? I mean, the fact that there are certain physiological changes in the formation of the lines of my hands, either because of injury or age, yes, or yes, whatever the case may be, does that mean that line that has changed because I received a scar because I was cutting some meat and I cut myself then I have a scar there that's permanent, does that mean that is connected to a life event in my life that's going to, well, how do you explain that? Yeah,
let's say you just had let's say you just cut yourself on the hotline.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that this is the event that will occur for the rest of your life. No, it's just an injury that's there, because the line goes deeper than what we see with our eye.
Right. Right.
The only time when it changes is when there is a break in these lines. You'll find that you have this line, but there's a break in this line, or they are chains.
Yeah.
They are islands. Islands is when the line goes straight, but out of on the last part, it looks like an oval shape.
Yeah.
This is called an island. Now, that's a life-changing situation, depending on where that island is. Let's say, for instance, it's on your lifeline.
Yeah.
Maybe it shows, when we calculate, it shows here that it's something that has to do with you when you are about 40. Now, it doesn't mean that it's going to be like that until the rest. It just simply says that there's going to be something like this. Say, on your lifeline, it will mainly speak about illness. It says here that when you are 40, this is what you're going to experience. So then, if it's on a headline, it says that there's an island on a headline. It simply tells you that at a certain period, you're going to have this mental breakdown, or you're going to find yourself in a position where you are confused. You're confused with such a certain important decision.
Right, yes. Right. Let me just go back to Anonymous. And Anonymous, have you had the use of a palm reader? Have you used a palm reader?
I haven't, but just judging by what you're saying, I think I'm in trouble.
Or not. I mean, you know.
Or not.
Yeah, you see, I'm going to be asking that question, and that's why I'm intrigued by all forms of divination, and I suppose at an intellectual level, because I get the sense sometimes that we're told that, at one level, that here's your hand, and it'll tell us about your future. At one level, it means to me, it means to me that you're saying that your life has been mapped out, right? So somebody just needs to look at this and read it, and then your life is mapped out. But then we need to have questions around choice, because, you know, if I choose not to go this particular path, does this mean that my palm was wrong? Or did the palm reader read it wrong? Or is this whole thing just a whole bunch of nonsense? So I'm going to be asking that question as it pertains to the issue of free moral agency choice, and how that pertains to this whole matter. So I'm hoping that gives you a little bit of hope that perhaps it's the or not side of things that we need to focus on in this conversation. Mohumutsi, here's a question coming to you from the WhatsApp line. Masango, thanks for the show. Please be so kind as to ask the guest if they get their information on both hands or on one of the hands. I'm asking because each hand has different lines. They look different. And I suppose it's similar to the question that Anonymous has just asked, Mohumutsi. But also, I'm told by other, you know, literature that I've read around palmistry that because we've got the dominant hand and the not non-dominant hand, or the active hand and the non-dominant hand. So, for example, I'm called dexterous because my dominant hand is my right hand. Mm-hmm. That has some meaning. Versus the fact that my left hand is perhaps not as dominant, although functional, but not as dominant. How do you explain that in terms of palmistry?
Well, in palmistry, one can be left-handed, for instance,
yeah,
right? But the left, when it comes to palmistry, is always passive, and the right is always active. This is the dominant hand, whether you're left-handed or right-handed.
Right. Okay.
So now, in that situation, the lines, yes, are not the same. Why? Is because we start off looking from the past as to where you are now. How did you end up finding yourself where you are? We look into the past, into your left palm. Then we see that okay, there are these lines which go towards a certain mound. And when we look on your right side, we see that okay, wait, these lines, they are going towards the same mound. Why is that? It means that this person keeps on doing the same thing. Whether this person keeps on making the same decisions over and over again. So the importance of seeing the left is so that we can see the past and see how we can fix it if it is a problem that is going to affect your future. But in any case, you have a choice. Like, let's say marriage, for instance. You have a choice to say, I don't want to get married. It doesn't necessarily mean if we see a marriage line, it means you have to get married. You have a choice to say, I do not want to be a part of this. Even though what will happen is you will meet partners who are only interested in that field. Yes.
And how much of it have you found to be true, Mohomotse? Maybe, let me ask a question this way. How much of what you read is true and some perhaps not true? And what is the reason for that anomaly, for that inconsistency, if indeed there is?
Well, in terms of what I have read personally, I have found most of my readings, I've never read a wrong reading. To be honest with you, I've never had that case where someone said, you actually read me wrong.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah.
So now, but then now, there are those that would not agree to what one says when we look into their palms. And also another thing that I just want to highlight there is that when I read palms, it's not just palms that I'm reading, because some of the things that I will say are not even there in palmistry. You won't find them in palmistry. So for me, this comes as a gift. It's not like what,
Mohammed?
Like, for instance, I'll tell you that you have to undergo initiation. Say, African initiation.
Yeah.
Or
Willow Twasa.
Yes.
Yeah.
In a way.
Yeah.
Now, if you go into the book into the book of palmistry, you won't find that sign that says to you that you have to go otwas. You will be just told that you're spiritual.
Right.
You understand?
Right.
So that then for me, this is where the difference is.
Is palmistry, because lots of people are asking the same question in different ways.
Yes.
What happens if you don't have any palms? In other words, what happens if you had an accident, you don't have those limbs? Does it happen sometimes that you encounter people that simply don't have those lines, just as a biological phenomenon? And what of their story then? Does that mean it doesn't exist, or what's the story?
It does. We have a palmistry. But the same lines that we have on our hands, we also have them on our feet. So we don't. If I can't find anything on your hands, I only need your footprint.
And if I don't have feet?
If you don't have any feet, then we look for other features.
So
your eyes.
Okay. No, I get the principle. So you're saying to me that what is on my palms?
Mm-hmm.
Is etched all over my body and requires the initiated eye, in other words, the educated eye, to be able to understand all of these things.
Yes.
How did you get to learn this craft, Mohammed?
I was in. I traveled to Mauritius. My intention was to stay there.
Yeah.
Then when I got there, I had a reading myself from a gentleman that side, who said to me that your destination is not here. It's not in Mauritius. Your destination is where you came from. He didn't really know where I came from, but he said, I'm not from that area.
Yeah.
So I have to go back home because this is where I will receive or really get to understand my gift better, because I have the ability to see the future, the past, and the present through reading palms. Now, I used to do this, but for fun. I wasn't doing this as something that was serious. Even when he was telling me like that, I was a little bit skeptical about what he was saying.
Yeah.
Until I came back and he told me, who am I going to meet and who is this person who's going to guide me through the process, just to give me the basics and to understand this craft better.
Is it a similar process as Hotwasa? In other words, the similar in principle or in activities to the initiation process you go through if you want to become a Sangoma?
No. It's not the same. These are two. They are completely different. Because here, the first thing that you are taught is to learn to understand your intuition. It starts first with you. So you undergo a phase of meditation where you need to learn self control. And then from there, then this is when they start teaching you about different aspects of our lives, such as chakras. You know, such as the third eye.
Yeah.
They teach you how to open the third eye, how to open your chakras, how to channel your energy.
Yeah.
And then from there, whatever you have as a gift,
it starts
coming to you slowly, but it comes flawlessly.
Yeah.
It doesn't come. You don't have to undergo any type of initiation that we may know as Africans.
Yeah, so this guy writes me, Aubrey, it's cold tonight. Palm reading is BS, really, says this particular person. Then switch off the radio, man. Hey, switch off the radio. Nothing is holding you. Nobody's got a gun against your head and saying you got to listen to this program. No, nobody. You know, switch off the radio. You're excused. But that's what this is about. This particular slot is about the weird and the wonderful. So if it's not down your, up your alley, it's okay. Switch off the radio and go sit by the fireplace and enjoy a good book or something. But we are hearing about this phenomenon called palmistry, and Mohumuti, the palmist, is my guest. And do you get that a lot, Mohumuti? People say, man, it's cold, man. Hey, man, it's cold, man. Why are you telling us about this?
Not necessarily.
I don't know what I really don't know what cold and hot has anything to do.
I used to get it in the beginning, especially when I'm reading someone who they don't see me.
Yeah.
They kind of feel like I'm cheating them because I don't see them, but I'm still able to tell them about the events in their lives. And there was one specific person who once said that, no, this whatever I was saying didn't make sense or whatever the case was. But later on, this person came back to me and said, you know what? You said 1, 2, 3, 4, and that happened immediately after you said, like 2 weeks later, it happened.
Yeah.
And you warned me about these things.
Yeah. And what sort of things do you see? I mean, do you see that so-and-so is going to win the lotto? what do you see?
In most, it won't appear as lotto per se.
Yeah.
But we look at the signs which are there, because in palmistry we have symbols. Let me say symbols. We have symbols.
Yeah.
So let's say someone has a symbol of a fish right at the end of their fate line. Right? Now we
have
a fish. There's a symbol of a fish. We have fish, we have club, we have plus. We've got a lot of symbols. We've got moles, which we usually call them beauty spots, these black dots.
Yeah.
There are lots. We have grills. There are lots.
Okay. So give me the nature of what you understand or see or understand. Well, what do you see or understand?
In most cases, when I look into your palms, first I study your mounts,
yeah,
and then from studying your mounts, I look at the shape of your palm as well, And then I look at your fingers and how your fingers are leaning. Sometimes you'll have fingers leaning towards left or leaning towards right, or you have a pinky finger meeting almost with the ring finger. Now these when I look at these signs or these symbols on your palms, then this is when I'm able to tell what these things mean.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm answering the question.
Yeah, you are answering my question, but it feels like half of the explanation. So how do you know what the fish means?
In terms of the fish, it comes with the studies that I undergone when I was going through my process.
Yeah.
Or my journey.
Yeah.
So the symbol of a fish, wherever it is, it brings good luck, but it means that luck came with a lot of hardships.
Yeah.
For you to get to where you are, you had to undergo a lot of hardships and hard work.
But would you agree with me, Mohumudzi, that is a given? You know, in other words, I've had people on the show who are either diviners of different forms, right? Whether they're palmists, or they are tarot readers, or they are numerologists, or whatever the case may be.
Mm-hmm.
The one suspicion that I always have, and it just doesn't leave me, okay, is that the things that people say are obvious. Of course. Of course you need to work hard.
Yes.
And you need to go through hardships in order to... Yes. So if I say that to you, and you have gone through those hardships. In other words, it's a real experience of yours to have gone through those hardships. And I echo it to you. It sounds that much more true, and that this person saying this to me is somehow clairvoyant and sees differently and so forth. When it is, in fact, a truism. It's true for all people that whatever it is that is of any significance, that is worthwhile, would have been achieved with great struggle.
Yes.
Do you see my problem, my issue here?
I get what you're saying. Yeah. I understand it very well.
Yeah.
The thing is, not everyone has it. There are those who work hard, because fish usually represent wealth. Let me put it clear.
Okay.
Fish represent wealth. But this world is going to come. Whether it could be coming from a traumatic event. Let's say, for instance, you grow up in a family that is separated.
Yep.
Your parents were alone.
Yep.
As a child when you were growing up.
Yep.
You understand? So now then there is that intervention of the universe being part of you.
Yeah.
Then that symbol grows, because you are the one who have to take care, or you are the one who have to raise the family. But not everyone who works hard has that symbol.
Yeah.
There are those who work hard, but still they don't have the symbol, but it doesn't mean they are not wealthy.
Let's take a call from Mariah in Rivonia. Hi, Mariah.
Hi, Aubrey. Nice to talk to you again.
Yeah.
Interesting topic. What I'd like to know is, to what extent is, if one goes to somebody like your guest or you know, somebody like that,
yeah.
to what extent is what they read in your palm immutable? In other words,
yeah.
that's it, you can't change. So let's say it says, you know, you're never going to get married, for example, and desperately want to.
Yeah.
Is that like now, you know, like the end of your hopes? Or is there a way of where they can say, but if you do want to change that, this is what you have to do, or what have you?
Yeah. And it's very close related to my question about choices. To what extent? Yeah.
Sometimes one doesn't always have a choice.
Indeed.
It's like, let's say you want a job, you want to get married, but you don't get that opportunity
yeah.
the way you want to.
Yeah.
Is it a question of, well, live with it, grin and bear it? I mean,
I hear you.
Is there a world
I hear that question.
Yes. This is an interesting question, and I love that question.
Yeah.
So you want to get married, right? But someone looks at your palms and say, no, it doesn't look like you. Yeah. Or you don't have a marriage line. Let me put it that way.
Yeah.
You don't have a marriage line,
yeah.
a prominent marriage line.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean the person who's coming into your life doesn't have that line. You understand? So the person who comes into your life may come into your life with that lack of marriage from their side. It may not be appearing on your side, but it doesn't mean the person who's coming into your life isn't going to have that involvement with you on the marital state.
So what are you saying to me that I can almost govern? I can hijack somebody else's marriage line and get married if I desired to get married, but I don't have a marriage line on my palm. Mm-hmm. I can get mm-hmm. married simply because I desire to, and therefore I attract a particular person who has a marriage line, and on the basis of that, I then get married.
Yeah, you know, as simple as that. I mean, for instance, let me give you another example.
Yeah.
In most male figures, or in male people, you would look at the children lines, and you don't even see any, but they do have children. Now, these lines, they will appear.
Are those his children? Is the question.
Sorry?
So you say to me that you look at the children line. And on the palm, there's no kids, but they do have kids.
And they do have kids.
Well, are they his children?
I didn't get that.
Are they his children then?
Are they youth children? I didn't get that.
No, I mean, if on the palm,
yes,
there's no children.
Yes.
But in physical real life, I have children. Are those children mine?
Yes, they are yours.
Okay.
We look at this situation. Let's say on a marriage scale.
Yeah.
Let me put it on a marriage scale.
Yeah.
So you are married, but when I read your palms, I don't see your children, right? But if when I read the palms of your wife,
yeah,
I do see the children lines on their side.
Right.
You understand? These lines, they represent the children that you have with your wife. It doesn't mean the children are not yours.
Yeah.
So it's similar to that of marriage. That says that you may not have a marriage line. And also another thing is there are many parts of the palms to see marriage. For instance, it's not just based on the marriage line alone.
Yeah.
Remember, in the beginning, I said something about a cross on the mount of Jupiter, or on the pointing finger.
Yeah,
right. That cross also represents successful marriage. The fate line, it may start from the base of your thumb, goes straight towards your middle finger. That tells you about successful marriage.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I wish you were here, man. You could read my palms here, man. Then I could ask you a couple of questions, you know?
No, not a problem. I think we can make that arrangement.
Yeah, no, you must come here. I want to check a couple of things. Anyway, right. Here's a bit of a skeptical question from me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, all of your responses make sense, yeah, I suppose.
Yes.
But they give you so much room to move. In other words, there's so much room for being right than room for being wrong.
Wrong. Okay.
In other words, I can interpret things any way that I want them to pan out. Mm-hmm. In which case, I don't know whether the problem is with the craft, or with your explanation of it, or with the reading of it. It seems not to have the precision that I would want to have to make life decisions about. So the question then becomes, do I come to a palm reader like you to confirm something or to mm-hmm. find something out so mm-hmm. that I can make a decision? Who and under which circumstances would come to a palm reader to do what? To get what?
Well,
in other words, what is your recommendation?
Well, my recommendation is that when you come to let's say you want to consult to a palm reader,
yeah,
right? The first thing that you need to do is do not tell them what is it that you want. First, allow them to give you the reading.
yeah.
that you need. Right? Hear the reading first.
Yeah.
Don't come to me and tell me, I want you to read about my love life.
Yeah.
You understand? Because the moment you start telling me that I want you to read about my love life, you've already given me the like, it's like you just sold the whole reading out.
Yeah.
This is when you will be able to know if this person is legit or not.
Yeah.
You understand? Because there's a lot that is happening on the internet.
Yeah.
There are a lot of promises out there.
Yeah.
Now, depending on what you say when you come to me, these are the cue that I will be using in order to get to your emotions. Because this is what mainly most healers do.
Yeah.
We use one of those these key words. You know, these emotional words.
Yeah.
I'll just say to you that according to what I'm seeing here, it looks like your heart is not well. You are worried about something.
Yeah. Yeah. Or I see someone. Is there a woman in your life that you have a problem with?
You get what I'm saying.
Come on, man.
Let me tell you yeah. what I see.
Yeah.
And then from there, this is when you'll make that decision that do you want to continue with this or not?
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
the moment you tell me that, hey, you know what, I'm coming here because of family, the first thing that comes into my head
yeah.
as a healer or as a reader, I'm like, okay, it means that you and your wife are not okay. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And obviously, in most...
I detect a some uneasiness with regards to financial problems. Do you resonate with that? Of course, yes. Everybody's got financial problems.
Yes.
What are you talking about? Yeah.
So yes, in most cases, best is keep quiet.
Yeah.
Say I'm here for consultation.
Okay.
And let us take it from there.
Okay. And most of the time, do people understand what you're saying? Do you understand what you're saying to them? Or do you just speak from a position of intuition and being led, as it were?
In most cases, I speak from the point of intuition.
Because
yeah. someone will come back to me and say, no, you know, you said 1, 2, 3 to me. And I'm like, I said that. Genuinely so. I don't even, some of the readings that I do, I hardly even remember them.
Yeah. Mohometsi, the Palmist, how do people get in touch with you, my brother, if they want to have a more in-depth conversation about palmistry with you, or maybe just want to consult and have you read their palms? How do they get in touch with you?
On the social platforms is Mohometsi the Palmist, which on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, it's Mohometsi the Palmist.
Yeah.
And then we also have our business line, which is 078-931-2068, 078-931-2068. On this line, they will be speaking with my manager, which is Vincent.
All right, Mohometsi the Palmist, thank you so much for joining us this evening on The Weird and the Wonderful.